Okay, moving on into the chairman's report. First off, I want to comment on our meeting site, which seems to be a little unusual, but we primarily, Nancy, struggled to find us a place. As you know, we are mandated to have four meetings, quarterly meetings a year. Three of them on the coastal counties, one inland. And with the hurricane recovery not being completed by any means, we're considering switching this meeting over to be our inland meeting, which means the August meeting would be a coastal meeting, and we'd have a lot of problems with tourists and rates and all that. So Nancy somehow figured out that Martin County was classified as a coastal county and put this together like 2 weeks ago. And Nancy, I know you agonized in particular. We all did a little bit, but you in particular agonized over finding us a acceptable meeting site. And I want to thank you for the extra effort that you did for this. Thank you very much. Yeah. Okay, we have several letters in here. I just want to kind of go through. One to Dr. Chris Moore, Executive Director of the Mid-Atlantic Fisheries Management Council, and also to Robert Bill, the Executive Director of Atlantic States Marine Fisheries Commission, where we supported no action option for the commercial allocations issue. That's something that the commission voted on during the last meeting, so we sent them a letter. Also, we have letters going out to the, I believe it's four candidates for the obligatory appointment to a SAFMC. We have a couple of other letters from concerned individuals on specific issues. I won't read through those, but I'll let you all read through them. Finally got the last letter that Blakely referred to, which we're going to shortly address what all happened with that petition. So, moving on over to the ethics training reminder. Nancy, is there anybody here that's the 2 years are up that you know of?
No, sir. I think everyone is in good shape, and I will reach out to you all and let you know when your training is due. You'll also get emails from the Ethics Commission. I will ask all the commissioners to try to access your email and be checking for things like that when you get emails from them. But that's how they're going to correspond with you also. So.
Okay.
I'll give you a phone call and an email too, but
great.
They're going to reach out to you via email.
Okay. Yes.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, it is. And I know what Chuck was referring to was the Statement of Economic Interest website. It was supposed to be up 1st of February, but it was like the week afterwards. They've changed the whole thing around, new and improved, I guess. But anyway, it's a little aggravating, but it's not as.
Mr. Chairman, if I may clarify one thing.
Yes.
With the Statement of Economic Interest requirements that the Commission has, you have to file your Statement of Economic Interest by April 15th, to keep tax day in mind. That's your deadline for filing.
Yeah.
That. If you haven't had any changes since the previous year, you can file the no change form, which is much simpler to do. For new commissioners that might have filed one towards the end of 2018, you still have to file one in 2019, but if you haven't had any changes, you can do the no change form.
Yeah.
If you've got questions, I'm happy to help you, and so are the folks at the Ethics Enforcement. They're happy to help too.
Right. This is an annual thing, but the training is a 2-year thing.
That is correct.
Yeah.
Your training is required within 6 months of your appointment, and every 2 years thereafter. It's about a 2.5-hour online session, or you can go in person to a meeting if you'd like to do that. Those are held periodically throughout the year, and that schedule is listed on their website, which I've given you all the link in your notebooks.
Yeah. All right. Any questions? Okay. Moving on over to our meeting schedule. This is a compiled calendar of all the meetings that we are affected by, primarily focusing on the blue one, the MFC meetings. Next one will be in May, at a location to be determined. Yes, we'll just leave it at that.
Mr. Chairman, I will say that I believe for your August meeting, we do have the venue in Raleigh at the Brownstone. We've been talking with them. We haven't signed the final contracts with them, but they definitely have us in for these dates, and we'll work through the contract process with them. So we will be in Raleigh in August.
Right. So. Okay. All right. Committee assignments. Nobody gave me a phone call, email, or what have you, willing to serve on a particular committee, so I just kind of ready, fire, aim on this. So, you know, if there's a committee that you really want to be on or really don't want to be on, you know, let me know and I'll see if I can switch some people around. But right there's our commission's committee assignments. And we had a meeting, another committee, joint committee on the delineation of fishing waters with the Wildlife Resources Commission. There's a statute that we have to take a look at what rules are needed and what they are not. And so this one is, we're just really looking at where the boundaries are for the inland, joint, and coastal waters. We had our first meeting in New Bern on January the 23rd. We really did nothing except just kind of introduce ourselves and go over what our course of work was. Myself, Pete, and Doug are serving for the commission on that. They have three representatives. Our next meeting is going to be on March the 21st in Raleigh at the Wildlife Resources Commission headquarters. These are open meetings. There is no public comment with them, but those that want to come to them may come to them. All right. Tis the season. The circus is in town, and we need to maybe think about a few things we want to do legislatively. And talking with some individuals, there's two changes I think we need to ask for, and I'd like to get the commission's endorsements on these asks. If we do approve these requested changes, what we'll do, we'll write a letter to the Secretary of DEQ and to the legislator pointing out these changes and that we would like to see them. The first one is in 113-168.2i. And it's about the record-keeping requirements. There's been some concern about what fish are and are not being reported, and I don't think any of us really care who catches what and what they do with them, but we need to know what is coming out of the water. We had a duck guide who was take his hunters out in the morning, and then in the afternoon he would take them to use his commercial gear to catch fish and let them keep the fish. And it was kind of a fine line. Or is that a commercial operation? Is it not? And there's a lot of gray areas with it. Also, there's a number of smaller fishing tournaments that we do not know what they're catching, how much they're catching, and or the disposition of it. And also on the commercial side of it, if a commercial fisherman catches his daily catch and doesn't like what the price is, he does not have to sell it. So, but we need to know what he caught to know what the impact is on the stock. So the change that I'm proposing is right here in red, which says under record-keeping requirements. In the event the resource that is caught by someone not following the recreational commercial gear license requirements using commercial gear and is not sold to a licensed dealer, that individual must fill out a trip ticket with the DMF. Also, a non-Governor's Cup Series tournament must file an appropriate document to quantify the harvest from such a tournament. For the purpose of this section, a tournament is defined as any organized fishing event where an entry fee is paid and or a prize is given out to the participants. I think this is not saying you can or can't catch anything, it's just if you catch it, we need to know about it. Any thoughts or comments on this proposed ask for a change? Cameron.
Is the tournament director the one filing this, or is individual participants the ones that are responsible?
It's somebody with the tournament, the tournament director.
I got you.
Okay. Yes, Doug.
Got you.
We'll get it. Doug's up. Go ahead.
Yeah, I got it. Well, yeah, we can hear you anyway, Doug.
Yeah, we need it on.
Need it on record, though. Yeah. There we go.
On the question, the individual must file a trip ticket with DMF. I don't have an issue with having to file what they've caught, but how? Because with P numbers and license numbers and everything else, if you've got Tom Jones and went duck hunting or whatever, then he goes to you file a trip ticket. You're not going to have the appropriate information to be able to file that ticket through the system. Do you see where I'm coming from? How are you going to handle that?
The duck guide.
Well, yeah,
duck guide's out there with commercial gear catching.
But in this it says, you know, it's not sold to a licensed dealer. That individual must file a trip ticket with DMF. You know, that individual being the guys that kept the fish.
This is understood that it's the guide.
Okay, well, that's not the way this looks.
We can change. We can make it state that it is the owner of the... owner of the commercial gear,
but you see what I'm saying,
there's going to need to be probably a little bit.
Right, I mean, I know what you're trying to get is the fish registered, but I mean, also, you know, you're going to have dollars amount involved that he's not going to post. Also, it's just going to be you need some clarification.
Yeah. Okay. Let's see. Okay, in the event the resource that is caught by someone not following the ruckle, that's to get the ruckle gear out of it, using commercial gear and is not sold to a licensed dealer, that individual. So the individual actually doing the catching is the duck guide. Yeah.
If I might.
Yeah.
As a body, we're woefully inartful as a body to do legislative drafting. But I would say that statutory language with someone and that individual and blank in terms of the tournament, I don't know that I have an opinion on what we're trying to accomplish, but if it's the will of the commission to accomplish this, I would probably suggest that it be referred back to the department's legislative council for proper drafting of language. Because when I look at this, someone is not someone, you know, and that individual is. I mean, this is. I see the concept, but same thing here on the tournament. It's who is the responsible entity, and I hear you saying the tournament director, but that's not what it says. And without seeing the rest of this, and I don't have my general statutes with me, but without seeing the rest of this section, I'm not sure I know what the consequences of it are. Is it a citation? Is it life in prison? Or you know, what are the consequences for failure? And if not, I mean, I just think we ought to know what those are. But if we're going to do it, we need to. It needs to be properly written in the context so that it's clear whatever the it is.
Yeah, it's I'm by no means an expert in writing legislature. Yeah,
and I didn't mean to be critical.
Well, I didn't take it that way. I did not take it that way. But and you're right. But if we approve for this conceptually. and let us maybe talk to the good folks at DEQ who write legislation all the time and get their ins and outs on the right language. But if we approve the concept of this and the other one, the second one may also have a few issues too. What I'm looking at is approval of a concept that, you know, fish has taken out of water. We need to know it. And that's pretty much it. Hold on. Chuck, okay. Go ahead.
No, are you looking for us to make a motion of approval for this to submit to the draft writing folks at DEQ or whatever to send this to the, you know, send this to the legislature? And also, and this is probably a question for Steve and staff, as to the stuff that Stephanie, and I'm going to crucify your name, McElerney. Is that, that's not right. Stephanie M. worked on the discovery by DEQ and DMF Council that the standard commercial fishing license is in fact a privileged license and not a commodity. We need to look at that at the same time, unless y'all have already presented that with Stephanie's corrections or whatever we went off. I don't know what the status of that is. If that needs to be included in this legislative stuff, we'd certainly like to see that.
I don't know that we're prepared to discuss that right now. I don't know where we are, Steve. Yeah.
So to get to the proposed. Excuse me, to get to the proposed legislation, the department submits through the governor's office legislative asks to the General Assembly as a full, you know, measure that we do. There's also an opportunity to send this, I would think, and I defer to the department on this, but I think there's an opportunity for you to send this directly to the General Assembly, yeah, where they do have bill writers in research that would get back with us to say how should this be done, and that may be the cleaner way to do this, to just have it to the General Assembly itself.
Okay. And let them work with you and your staff about cleaning up the
right
details.
Right, so I would defer to Joy Hicks, who's our legislative liaison with the department, who I'm sure is busy over on Jones Street today, yeah, and not listening to this. But, we could certainly have her look at it and see kind of what the best, you know, the best approach would be. To get to Chuck's point, I think we are going to talk about transfers today or tomorrow. I'm not sure what day it is. So we're going to be talking about that.
Thank you very much. And to you, Rob, I think anybody that DEQ's person hands it over to that's writing bills for natural resources or whatever could draft this to make it properly and however it needs to be presented.
Sam.
All right. I guess my question is where exactly this concern originated from. Was this from DMF, or is this
from a lot of people? A lot of people calling me. There was a lot of Facebook posting about this duck guide, and I've come to find out there's other duck guides who will take their people out in the morning duck hunting, and the duck hunting this year has been not great. Right. And so they take them out fishing in the afternoon, and they get to keep the catch, and they go home happy, but we don't know where to catch them.
I guess then I would ask the DMF if they felt that it was a significant enough issue that it's just a lot that we're going to have to go through. We got a lot on our plate, and I haven't heard of this so much, and so I was just kind of curious if maybe DMF has any record of how many problems we've had or enforcement issues.
Yeah, so this stemmed from, like the chairman said, he's a commercial fisherman guide. I believe his father's a dealer over in Pamlico County. We've had many inquiries about people paying to go out fishing with basically a commercial gill netter, So under the current law that we have, they're not for hire charters, because for hire charters are defined by the gear, right? And so we talked to legal counsel about this, and that was, you know, we said if this needs to change, it's going to need some sort of legislative change, because most of the licensing is in the legislation, not rule. But a commercial transaction, right? So if you're using commercial gear and you get money for something, then that's a transaction, and you have to generate a trip ticket on that somehow. So we worked with this fisherman to go through a dealer so that we are getting trip tickets on this particular one. But if you look up and down the coast, this occurs with shrimp trawling. I know Georgia, South Carolina have commercial trawlers that take people out on this. It's kind of something that doesn't fit well into the existing regulations. So it would be best, you know, addressed through a law change.
Okay, good. Mike.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would like to support looking into this a little further. As regulations have sort of cramped the commercial industry in several sectors, I have noticed as well that you have, or commercial fishermen traditionally have sort of began this niche charter style of business, to where they sort of offer a family or individuals a trip on their vessel. They seemingly pull a shrimp trawl and pull up to 25 crab pots and get them a bushel of crabs and a cooler full of shrimp. And this is happening, I know, in a couple of instances up in Dare County. So I would support looking into this a little more to sort of validate this method of commerce within the fisheries, and that way we can kind of more understand the impacts that these sort of niche operations are having. So anyway.
All right. Right. Yes, sir. Go ahead.
I mirror a lot of what Mike has said. I admire these folks for creating a niche business. But this is an age-old problem for North Carolina that dates back to prior to me coming onto the commission in 2013. Former Chairman Corbett and I requested that anything caught be placed on a trip ticket. Dr. Daniels here, he'll remember that. Braxton Beverly was not there, remembers that. This is not so much a detriment or trying to keep people from going into business and being very creative with what they do. This is simply a matter of record keeping, and it certainly probably predates Hadley's study, but certainly as Hadley's study came in, we know that there is at least a 20% possibility of having trip tickets that or very conservative. So I admire the new MREP data in showing how much of a problem the recreational catch is. Also admire the economic benefit that they create. But we're off, and I consider 20% or 10% on trip tickets to be something that could be solved by doing something similar to this. We're not looking to put anybody out of business, but if the duck guide kills a limit of ducks and then goes and gets us a net full of fish, all we want to know is how many fish, and just as though he was selling them, because he can eat them. That's what he can do, personal consumption. He can do donations. He can do whatever. But that needs to be reported. So it goes back all the way back to Adam Powell and what's known as the Noah netters, because these guys were fishery scientists and actually would run gill nets under standard commercial fishing licenses for the hell of it, and excuse me, bad choice of words, for the fun of it, and either personally consume those or give them to the churches. But that's the issue. We can't manage what we don't know any more than we can do with the recreational folks. We now have better data, so this is only something simply asked to have better data on the commercial side and to fill in that possible 20% conservative estimate.
Okay, Mike.